HarperCollins presents Bookishly Ever After by Mia Page. Read by Holly Hales. Lexi Austin's New Year's Resolutions. Employ a manager so I don't have to be in the bookshop 24/7 and can have an actual life. Find the one decent guy in Washington, D.C. There must be one, right? Surely. And make him my boyfriend. If that means going back on the apps, then okay, fine, whatever. Finally read Mansfield Park so I can properly call myself an Austin completist. No point having my surname and being possibly, related to Jane if I haven't even read all her books. Chapter 1. The date isn't going well. Not that Lexi is surprised. Do they ever go well, really? It started going wrong when she arrived at the bar, red-faced and sweating a little under her thick winter coat, and, horror of horrors in this town full of overachievers, 4 minutes late. And when the guy, Chad, Tom, Randy, whatever this one is called, finally stops talking about himself, his day, his commute, his very important job, his choice of drink, Lexi's lateness is the first thing he chooses to comment on. Obliquely, of course, so that it doesn't seem rude. But he and Lexi both know better. "Busy day?" he asks. Lexi opens her mouth to defend herself, but she already knows from those two words and the slightly disparaging tone in which they're uttered exactly how this conversation is going to go. "Actually, yes," she says, after a deep breath and an internal count to 10. "My days are all busy." Chad, Tom, Randy, does the quizzical eyebrow thing people always do when she says things like this, i.e. when she says anything that implies that owning a bookshop is not all sunshine and puppy dogs, perching on high stools at artisanal coffee shops with a paperback open in front of her. Lexi catches the bartender's eye to order what has become an emergency daiquiri. "My meeting with my accountant overran," she tells Chad, Tom, Randy, which, while it's true, is not the reason she's late. The reason she's late is that Layla, one of her favourite customers, was looking for a new thriller to take on holiday. And what was she supposed to do? Just leave her there to browse with no help or guidance? When Lexi knew a book that is perfect for her had just arrived, in long-awaited paperback. 'Cause that's a hard pass. And then, when she started chatting about her latest five-star read, was Lexi supposed to hold her hand up, interrupt her, and say, "I'm terribly sorry, but I have to stop talking to you about books, because I'm meeting some random dude from one of the useless apps, and it'll probably turn out to be a giant waste of everybody's time, but I'm going to choose to prioritise him over you right now." Again, no. You might be surmising from all of this that perhaps Lexi isn't giving Chad or Tom or Randy a fair chance. Perhaps she's misread his tone, and he isn't being patronising at all, and she is just letting the 9,000 other dates she's had with DC dudes and their overinflated egos colour this experience, and Chad or Tom or Randy doesn't deserve it. Well, maybe. But also, maybe not. "Accountant," he repeats, and she hears it, the surprise in his voice, and then witnesses him trying to catch himself.
"I guess there's more to running a bookstore than sitting around reading all day."
Lexi loves her job, but if there's anything about it that she doesn't love, it is, in fact, that she barely has time to read anymore, artisanal coffee shops or not. Honestly, it's a shock that she has time to shower some days. But if you're not working in politics, or, at the bare minimum, in a politics-adjacent NGO, you might as well be sitting at home twiddling your thumbs as far as most men in Washington are concerned. This dating charade is clearly a waste of time. She has known this since date 837. Since date 8, if she's honest with herself. And the last thing she has to spare is time.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?